welcome to your favorite podcast in the universe, Hallmark's the Spot, where we talk about Hallmark movies.
That's right. And I'm Ellie.
And I'm Jim.
And we're going to talk about Sand Dollar Cove and the last episode of Good Witch.
And what is the woman's name in Sand Dollar Cove?
The actress's name or the character?
The character.
Ellie Ebersole.
Ellie.
Oh, I hadn't even realized.
Yep.
I was too busy. I was stuck on the alliteration.
Yes.
Brody Bradshaw, Ellie Ebersole. Get it?
Yes, I get it.
Yeah. And?
And?
It's filmed in my home state of Connecticut.
Oh.
Boom.
Boom.
Except down at the shore. I was not
from the shore. Yeah, you were not from the shore.
Yeah. Yeah. But apparently neither was Ellie Ebersole.
Yeah.
She was from Hartford. So.
Home of the Hartford Whalers.
The old home.
Yes. The Hartford Whalers don't exist anymore.
I was just in Connecticut a couple days ago, and at the airport, they are still selling Hartford Whalers t-shirts.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep. Yep. But aren't they the home of the Wolfpack or something? Like, they do have, like, a minor league.
They may have a minor league team, but they don't have...
But they're still...
A professional team. I forget what team the Hartford Whalers became.
They went to South Carolina, became the...
Was it the Hurricanes?
The North Carolina, the Hurricanes, I think. The Carolina Hurricanes, but I think they play in North Carolina.
Well.
But now they're dead to me, so it's okay.
That's right.
But I was like.
Almost as dead as those sand dollars they keep finding at Sand Dollar Cove.
Almost. Those flat sea urchins. Yeah. Which I thought you only found sand dollars like I associate that with Florida, like Venice Beach and stuff. Like,
I don't know.
That was a place where you would find a lot of sand dollars.
I had to look up to see what a sand dollar looks like when it's alive.
Oh, I don't know what it looks like when it's alive. Does it have stuff coming out of the holes and stuff?
No, it just looked bigger and thicker.
Oh.
You know, but the same general shape.
Okay. I do know it's a sea urchin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we both learned something. I'm trying to think if I learned something.
The bare minimum about sand dollars.
I did.
I only looked it up for about 3 minutes.
So. Well, I did look up where this was filmed, and it is filmed on the eastern Connecticut shoreline.
It wasn't filmed in Connecticut, Canada.
That's right. Exactly. So it was filmed in a combo of places, most in Groton and Stonington. So all on the Long Island Sound. So that was good. Cause at one point I saw a lot of hills and I haven't been to the Connecticut shoreline a lot.
Right.
But I thought it was all pretty flat. And so when I saw the hills, I was like, is this Connecticut or is that like Prince Edward Island or some other maritime province, Nova Scotia? And it was like, no, that is Connecticut. That's cool. So a part of Groton I've never really heard of. What I call it? Noank. N-O-A-N-K.
Yeah.
And I saw that, you know, I have family roots in that area. So that was kind of fun.
Right. Besides learning more about sand dollars at Sand Dollar Cove and Connecticut, I guess, we will be talking about the latest
movie?
Episode of Good Witch. This is the Good Witch that was recorded. It was last weekend, right? Today, we're recording this on the 4th. It's not it's not today's episode.
There is no episode today.
Oh, there is no episode today. Right. So the last episode of... Right.
Today is the rom-com marathon.
That's right. That's right.
Last Sunday. Last
fuck. The air conditioner just went on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
It feels good.
I know. It feels good, huh? The one time I'm like, I got to shut off the air conditioner.
That's right.
We're sorry. The air conditioner gives background noise.
Well, won't you cut this out?
I can't cut out background noise.
Well, can't you cut out this whole thing? I'll say, last Sunday's episode, June something. I was on vacation, so I don't know what day it was. I didn't know what day it was then, and I don't know what day it was now. So
it's the last live episode of Good Witch. So since you're not going to get one till next week, then we're safe.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about the actual air date.
Okay. However, it was the one where Sam goes home to hang out with his sister.
Yeah.
And convince her that she is she needs to use her wheelchair due to a debilitating illness that she has. And and the other.
Are we talking about Good Witch now?
Or we always do.
Oh, okay.
Don't we always launch right into it?
Okay, Good Witch is terrible. I just have to say.
I was going
to
talk a little bit more about what happened. I was
never like a big fan of Good Witch to begin with.
Uh-huh.
But this season is especially.
Well, were you going to let me finish talking about?
Go ahead, Sam. What,
now I can't think of the name of the women. Now you've got me all.
Name of what women? Abigail?
Abigail and.
And Joy.
Joy. They're
And Stephanie.
Not the Middle March women. What are they called?
The Middle March women?
The Merriwick.
The Merriwick.
The Merriwick women.
The Middle March women.
The Merriwick women, they have trouble having intuition when it comes to their own stuff, except for Cassie. She says she has trouble. Yes. And then she intuits all kinds of stuff about herself, but we won't get into that right now.
But she must be not as accurate. Like she can't, but she does predict about them whenever she gets a phone call and stuff. That's about her.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so, or knows who's at the door before they knock at the door and stuff like that.
Yep.
So you're right. She didn't, you know.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't know her parents were going to die in a car accident.
Yeah.
And she didn't know that her husband was going to get shot in the line of duty or whatever. And she didn't know something about, I remember there was one episode about Grace or something. And she gets stuck in a snowstorm or something.
Yeah. And you she know. Didn't predict that one.
Yeah. Either. Yeah. And she, it was famous how she, when it comes to yourself, it's really hard. And then she'll have intuition all the time when it has to do with her. So,
Merry March women, go on.
Merriwick. So the Merriwick women.
Yes.
Abigail is doing two things. One, she's realizing she doesn't know enough about her fiance. So they have to go back to square one and have the what's your favorite color conversation. I have to say, there's some of those things that I don't know about you. We've been together a while.
My favorite color changes.
Yeah.
Like it used to be black. Now it's red.
Right.
I don't, you know.
And tomorrow could be blue.
Tomorrow, I don't know if it'll be blue.
Oh. And I know you would say my favorite color is purple.
Yes, I would not say that.
But I don't feel like a purple person. I like a lot of other colors too.
Yeah, you like a lot of other colors, but you're more partial to purple. I can tell you that. Yeah. Well, there you go. You love purple. You love Prince.
I love Prince. That is true. Yeah.
I was trying to think of a purple Muppet, and I can't. So I was going to say, and you love.
Who's the one with the gold tooth? Dr. John.
That's Dr. Teeth.
Dr. Teeth. He's kind of purple.
Is he?
Janice? Is she kind of purple?
No, she's greenish.
Oh, Well,
whatever.
I it like was the a ones joke. That are based on
I could
the
not think of a third thing.
That's kind
it's
of
it's a failure.
Anyway, so also there was a bridal expo, quote unquote, at like the town hall, I guess.
Yeah,
a
bridal expo. Now, bridal expos
are usually big.
Are usually big.
And usually have multiple vendors.
A lot of vendors.
Yeah. And Abigail's been out of shape because the people who were going to buy her shop but backed out at the last minute are, number one, at the show, and number two, setting up a kiosk or whatever in
Middleton.
In Middleton, in the Grand Marketplace or, whatever. You know, the Grand Square or Town Square.
But the thing is, Abigail's upset that they're at the show, and I'm going... There would be 15 florists at one of those big shows.
That's right. So
they have multiple wedding bridal gown companies. Yeah. They got multiple photographers. They're going to have multiple florists.
Yeah. And then so that was number one and two. Yeah. And then I'm just going to say, number three has been, I have long engagement. I don't want to plan the wedding. Yada, yada, yada. We need more time. She tries on the ugliest dress. Yes. And she thinks it's amazing. Joy thinks it's amazing. And now she's ready to get married.
Yeah. She buys it. It's ugly. It could be a whole lot less ugly if they took those poofy shoulders out. That's, I think, what ruins that dress. I think
it looks like a space costume.
It does.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Joy really likes Chloe. Is that her name?
I think it's Chloe, the firefighter.
The firefighter. And she sends her flowers. And of course, Abigail says, trust me, my intuition's working fine as your florist, your friend, and your family. And she goes and she puts yellow roses in this bouquet.
Only because Joy asked her to. Because
Joy says Chloe's favorite color is yellow. And forgetting the significance of yellow roses, which usually means friendship.
Right.
Puts Chloe in a tailspin. So I guess she would say she was going to go into a tailspin anyway. And it didn't have anything to do with the yellow flowers. I'm pretty sure she brought red roses to Joy at the end.
That's right.
So that little romance is going well. But of course, it was helped along by Chaplain Mope. What do you call him?
Chaplain Mope. That's what I call him.
Chaplain Mope.
It's Dr. Boring and Chaplain Mope. Friends forever.
Friends forever. So Chaplain Mope is a little mopey this time.
Because no one's coming to his new church.
He launches a church and one person shows up to the info session.
Stephanie.
Yeah. His ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Oh, and so he's upset about that and almost backs out or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He takes a job back at the hospital.
Yeah, but he can have more than one job. Come on. These chaplains, they usually do something at a hospital as part of their job.
Yeah. It's not like he's going to be at that church 7 days a week.
Yeah. Is he doing a full-time gig at the hospital? He goes there 9 to 5, 5 days a week.
Well, like you said, he's got plenty of time for the nobodies that are showing up.
Yeah. So, excuse me. So he runs into a little hiccup, but Stephanie's going through this whole thing.
Stick it out.
Yeah, Stephanie's going through this whole thing of she wants to do all these adventurous things that she put on a piece of paper when she was 14. Hello, people. Have you not changed at all since you were 14? But she goes and says, I have to get a tattoo. And she gets a henna tattoo.
Yeah.
And I have to ride on a motorcycle. Wait, what's this? But she sprains her hand, not
doing a back stand or something, a backflip.
A back handspring.
Oh, a back handspring.
Yes. Okay. Hello. You're 30 something, I'm assuming. Maybe 40 something. You aren't
good. I don't know if she's 40.
Yeah, I'm just saying. She's much older than she was when she was 14.
Right.
The time to do a back handspring is when you're 14. Not when you're 31. When's the last time she did a cartwheel or a handstand?
I don't know her that well, so I can't.
I don't know. Is she doing gymnastics on the side where a back handspring would be in her repertoire at this point? Come on. I remember being a kid doing cartwheels and round offs or whatever all day.
That's the point.
And then you start to do those things when you're 30 and your head spins after one.
That's the point. She's doing all kinds of foolish nonsense.
That's right. Thinking, I took the safe path. So she tells
that it's going to change her life, make her more adventurous.
Right. And the thing that they stepped over, which really annoyed me.
Okay. What?
Because the guy says, I guess it's working for you, right? Donovan, when he comes in.
Yeah.
Wait, starting your own business, which she's done multiple times. She started the bistro. She started the food truck. Uh-huh. That is adventurous. That is taking a risk.
Right.
So she's I always take the safe path. Starting your own business is not the safe path. No. That would be like, oh, can I be the manager of your restaurant? That would be the safe path.
Yeah.
So why did they step over the fact that being an entrepreneur is doing really risky stuff?
I agree.
And
I didn't even notice that until you pointed it out just now, but it's obvious.
Yeah. Sometimes they just don't do enough to like point out that people are amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
And whatever. The thing with the doctor and his sister.
Yeah.
Oh, and she's going through her stuff, like coming to terms with her, like probably mortality, her waning independence. And she's like resenting him for telling her of that stuff.
Yeah. That she shouldn't hurt herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And he's, moping over,
His grandfather. Who died when he was like 12 or something.
Yeah, and I'm going, man, does this guy have any joy in his life? It's like, he's like a manic depressive. He's either having a good time or being depressed.
Uh-huh.
They're writing him terribly. And,
yeah.
And he's Dr. Boring, so he's boring to begin with. But now he's boring and annoying.
Right. Well, in the whole thing about Martha. Okay, so Mayor Martha, she wants to hang out with her grandson. She doesn't want to miss him growing up. And so she thinks the way out of it is to get somebody else to take on mayor. As if that's just something she can do.
Right.
Does this town not have bylaws?
Yeah, you can't. What, some sort of councilman or someone have moved into that spot?
Right. But no, instead, Cassie hints that, I think you'll find the right person. Yeah. And then the guy shows up, George. He's the perfect guy to take over for her. And then all at the end, she realizes she could do both.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, underestimating women.
Right.
So, like, why did Cassie, I know there wouldn't be a show if Cassie didn't say you could do them both.
Yeah.
But
let me ask you this. Why didn't she go to the most obvious person in the world to be interim mayor?
Her husband.
Yeah. Who was mayor.
Right. Well, instead she goes to Cassie, who was mayor.
Yeah.
But she didn't go to Abigail, who was mayor.
Right.
Yeah.
And didn't go to her husband, who was mayor.
It went to some guy who's not mayor and who's not on the town council.
Right.
So she can't hand over the gavel and have it be somebody else. I mean, if you were in Middleton and you found out Martha just like, I asked George to do it because I wanted to watch my grandson today. Really? Doesn't she have days off? Doesn't she have personal time?
Yeah. Well, she is mayor, honey. And... a poor one at that, because the best mayor for Middleton is someone who would cash in those three big jewels and pump a whole bunch of money into the city coffers.
But no, don't worry. They do that by having their little things. Did you see the ad for July 12th's Good Witch or July 11th or whatever? The next one?
No. What?
It's like a couple's relay race or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
They have so many of these stupid town events. Oh, my gosh.
Uh-oh. Well, maybe if they cashed in those jewels,
they wouldn't have those
corny events. And
I thought you were going to say,
maybe have like a concert or something, like professionals come in and entertain.
Well, or why didn't she just ask Donovan? Like, can you just annex Middleton while I don't feel like being mayor and you could just be mayor of both? Yeah. So they said they were going to add more magic. All they did was have Joy wake up in the middle of the night and put together a vision board that's missing stuff.
Yeah, trying to figure out where the second amulet is.
Right. Then she gets they get a hint, Cassie sees the hope chest and they realize these two women are sitting on a hope chest, but they're both wearing the amulet. So they hope there's something in the hope chest.
Right.
And what's in the hope chest is a bouquet of dried flowers.
Yeah.
And a love letter, basically. And that's all you have in that hope chest for this long?
Right. I had a point.
Patience and Thomas? What?
No.
I think that's a couple.
Oh, I'm saying there's going to be a problem because when the hammer comes down, whatever this halo red moon.
Red halo
for moon. Foretells.
Beware.
Yeah. What, or portends.
Right.
Is that the word?
Well, it depends on what your point is.
Whatever fate they need the amulets to protect them from.
Right.
Someone is out.
That's right.
Someone's only three of them. Odd witch out because there's three of them and only two amulets.
Oh, yeah. Do you think it forms a protective dome? Well, they'll probably come up with some weird contraption that, like, the two amulets have to go in.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And it puts, like, a cloud of protection against over yeah. all of them. And why is it not, like, bad news for George, who knew about the red haloed moon a long time ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, and don't forget, Grace. Grace is a witch.
That's
she's
right.
a Merriwick woman, and she's got no amulet.
Right.
But I guess maybe she doesn't have to worry about anything bad happening to her in Milan or wherever she is. I don't know. So they're going to do some quote. Okay, so here's the thing. They're looking at the front. The front makes no difference. It's like a
vision board, yes.
Then Chloe or whatever comes. I don't know her name. The girlfriend comes with a picture of the two of them from their first date.
Right.
And she glue sticks that on into the missing spot. Then they have this conversation, she and Cassie, about like a change in perspective. They turn it around and hold it up to the light, and that's where the message, beware
the red halo,
the zenith of the red haloed moon or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing written on the back of her. Why would there be something written on the back of the picture that she had?
Yeah.
So what does that have to do with anything except there was an empty space?
That's right. What did that? What
Wouldn't
did
you
that
be upset if your girlfriend, you just started going out, you gave her a picture of you. She doesn't put it in
because
her
frame. Because what we're
she
saying is like.
Sticks it onto a wacky vision board.
Yeah.
That she's not even going to look at the front of.
Because Cassie said, whatever is in that missing piece, that's going to give us our answer.
So maybe it was the fact that it was a different perspective. Was that the clue?
I don't know, but it would have probably said all of that before anyway, she stuck the picture to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's their quote unquote magic. But next time they don't know if the amulet is in Gray House or not. So I saw them doing some fancy magic with like four candles at each end of a floor plan of Gray House. And she's got one of those crystals or whatever
that
usually like swinging. Put over chakras and
I guess it's going to point to where the magic amulet is.
So she's
going
to do a finding spell. So that's your magic to look forward to next time. Magic with a K.
So
she did some actual magic this time, but of course, you know.
So I'm sorry out there if you like this season of Good Witch.
It's just been a little lackluster. Like you said, while we were watching it, like, can nobody ever be happy? Everybody's always second guessing themselves.
Yeah.
It's a pattern that the writers have to like break out of. There's not a lot of.
Yeah, because they have every character doing it now. Uh-huh. You're right. I didn't notice that. Every character is second guessing their decisions.
Except for George. George didn't have any decisions to second guess this time. But yeah, Stephanie, Chaplain Mope, not so much Dr. Boring, but he was like all glum. Like you said, he's always depressed. If he's not being a know-it-all doctor, he's depressed.
Right.
Right? Cassie wasn't second-guessing her decisions, but she rarely does, right? She's just like using her intuition to guide her.
And very little of the storyline this season has revolved around her.
Yeah. And so now Abigail has declared war on the other flower shop because they stole all of her weddings that she booked that day.
Yeah.
But she's telling Donovan, like, showing him the wedding gown and how she wants to plan their wedding now. So I guess movement on that front. We may get a wedding at the end of the season.
I don't know.
But maybe. I don't really care.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
But Joy did. What about the flowers? She hasn't said anything. You know.
Donovan has always been milquetoast.
I know, right? For some guy who's like wants to be governor or president. Yeah, or whatever, I know. Lot of personality.
Yeah, maybe his mommy can tell him what to do.
Yeah, maybe. She's got more personality than he does. Yeah. Not very charming.
So that's a good. That's the episode of Good Witch.
Okay, unlike Jim, I was a fan of Good Witch because I did like her intuition, and she would be in her shop, and she would like find these cool things and talk about, oh, when I was traveling, such and such. That happens very. She. Have we even seen her in Bell Book and Candle this year? If we have, it was one time.
Yeah. Most of the time
they just refer to it now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I kind of like, I know she's supposed to be teaching, so they referred to that once. I don't know. It's just, it's kind of getting away from like any kind of like mystery about people who show up or whatever. Yeah. And I understand it can't always be that, but it's just been a little, I don't know. I guess we're solving last season. It was the mystery of Joy and who was Joy, right? Because she was like snooping around Gray House and not saying that she was a member of the family.
Because it was the jewels. It was tracking down, breaking the curse.
Oh yeah, of Donovan, Abigail.
And then the other one was finding those clues.
Right, right.
And it's like this one is. The big magical mystery is the amulets.
And what's going to happen in the red haloed moon.
Yeah, very boring. And it's got to the point where, okay.
It's just taking a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, too long.
Yeah, got it.
It's not an interesting mystery.
Well, and good for Chaplain Mope. He got a bunch of friends to show up at church. He got,
plus like, he did some counseling and
those people showed up. Yeah. So guess what? Working at the hospital is great for his congregation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause people feel indebted to him. And then they go to his church. I was just thinking how like in the pandemic, which they don't talk about the pandemic in this, but I was thinking about how in the pandemic, like some churches, if they were struggling already, are taking a hit.
Right.
Because people couldn't gather in person.
Mm-hmm.
And, here he is, like, starting a church right after the pandemic. So I wonder how that's going to go. So,
well, I'm sure people tend to wander into churches.
That's right. That's right. Maybe we'll get some stories about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So now we're going to talk about something that I liked a little less. Than that episode of Good Witch, which is Sand Dollar Cove.
I think it's the last of the Summer Nights movies.
I think it is, because now we're in Christmas in July, baby, and we've been watching Christmas movies like you wouldn't believe.
So what comes after that? Because we're still...
Fall Fest.
But we're still in summer. It'll be August.
I feel like in August they do... I thought they did something else.
Or do they just...
They may
string out some ones like the non-affiliate, the non-affiliated maybe. Ones.
I don't know.
Until they get to fall harvest.
I don't know. Maybe we should write these things down because we always talk about them and I don't really know.
All right. Well, Sand Dollar Cove, what's it about?
Are you going to read the little synopsis? I thought there was a test. I was getting
setting myself up.
Okay. Because I don't set you up.
Stamford developer Ellie works on acquiring a beachfront property in Sand Dollar Cove, a quaint Connecticut beach town, but falls for the town's charm and property
owner.
No, I just got shocked by this sentence. Oh. But falls for the town's charm and property. There should be
a comma,
because this is the way I was reading it. But falls for the town's charm and property owner.
Right.
It sounds like town's
charm.
He's the town's charm and property owner. Yeah, he owns the charm. He owns
the town.
Where if they placed a comma where it should go, it would say, fall for the town's charm and property owner.
Right.
In the process.
Brody Bradshaw.
Yeah. Okay. Enough grammar.
But they don't give his name?
Starring Chad Muller.
They only say
no, Ellie? They don't. They don't give his name.
Oh, poor Brody.
Just starring Chad Michael Murray, yeah. Ally Michalka, and Claire Bowen.
Ally Michalka.
Didn't it's I say Ally?
Like you said Ellie again.
No, Ally.
Okay.
Ally.
But Chad Michael Murray gets top billing everyone, of course, because he's the bigger star, even though she's had some more recent prominent roles.
Well, it says here his name is Brody in the cast.
In the cast. So we looked her up, and she's had starring roles in like 3 CW things recently, but she or 2, iZombie and I forget what the other one was.
Yeah.
And but she's not like the lead in those. Whereas he was the lead in One Tree Hill, so you know, and he's got a better agent. Got him top billing. She blows into town in her BMW convertible, 4-seater, and rocks up to the inn that's owned by Brody's grandmother.
Nana.
Who, despite having a real name, wants everyone to call her Nana. sends her over to the Sand Dollar Cafe, which is owned by her daughter, and I forget the daughter's name, and her
Pam
and her husband Tate. And Tate does the cooking, and Pam's in the front of the house. And she goes over to look at the beachfront property. She's trying to keep a quote unquote low profile.
Yeah.
But everybody figures out right away that she's like a developer.
Right.
And she's looking at the pier. And
you've moved away from the mic. Sorry.
She's looking at the pier. And it turns out that 9 months, it starts out by saying 9 months earlier, there was a huge storm.
Right.
The pier was damaged. And they spent a lot of money in the town getting back on their feet.
Yeah. And the town's kind of hurting.
So she looks at the pier and she's like, well, that's got to come out. I want this property for this hotel and spa or whatever.
Right.
And Brody's like, you got to talk to me. I own this property. I own the pier, and the pier is the heart of the town. And she's like, well, I want to buy your property and we're going to take down your pier. And he's like, no.
Okay. Point one. She could have said, yeah, okay, we'll leave the pier up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. Buy the land. Oh, we had some.
Turned out. Bottom line.
The pier's got to go.
So yeah. She doesn't do that. She gives them another. Well, okay. So Nana's trying to fix her up with her grandson, Brody. Brody, yeah. Who's a lawyer, who was turned off by lawyering. Oh, all that billing by the hour just really got
to me. So he goes and works in the, he owns the bait and tackle store.
Right.
Which bait is and tackle shop by. At the marina.
Yeah. Right. So also lives on a boat, a 51-foot beautiful boat.
Yeah.
Right.
Beautiful sailboat.
Yeah, I can't even be bothered. I'm sorry to go through this like chronologically of what they did.
Well,
okay.
Well, let's say,
how many times did we fall asleep? 3 or 4.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So things may be a little garbled. Okay. So what were you going
to
say?
But the basic gist of the story is she keeps asking him to sell the beach. He keeps saying, are you going to leave the pier up?
She keeps saying no.
No.
And then her
boss is, we need to peer down.
And we need to look at other properties. She doesn't tell him. She doesn't use any negotiate. They're negotiating, and she uses zero negotiation tactics. No. Except to say, okay, they're having like that summer fest or whatever.
Yeah.
The summer palooza.
And we'll
sponsor it because they didn't have enough money to have it that year. And it raises money for the kids to go on field trips.
Right.
So she said, oh, we'll sponsor it because my boss loves PR. She kept on saying, my boss loves good PR. Yeah. Meanwhile, the boss is like, I'm checking out properties in North Carolina because if we can't have this in Connecticut, I'm just going to go to another state, which is also kind of bullshit because usually if you have something like that, which they did, she went to see the mayor. The mayor's like, I'll do whatever I can to make this happen. Yeah. We never see the mayor again.
Exactly. I was saying earlier when we were watching it, I said that mayor would be up Chad Michael Murray's butt to get him to sell to this company.
That's right. And I've never seen so many people. Okay, I have this beautiful, they usually what they do is like with that one with Andy McDowell, this beautiful beachfront property, but she wants to save the turtles. So she doesn't want to sell it or whatever, right? So normally they're like, no, you're going to ruin our town by developing this big hotel, beachfront hotel. No, they're like, oh, well, I want to sell the land and this beachfront hotel would be good for the town.
Yeah.
So
it would have jobs. It would have tourists coming in.
But it's all about the freaking pier. So then the Nana and somebody else gets him to see his sister, I guess.
Yeah.
That like the pier is the past. It's not where he's headed. And then he says, okay, thinks to himself, okay, I'll sell the pier and use, I'll sell the land. Mm-hmm. And will use the money to set up my own law practice.
Yeah, where he can do like community service type law and pro bono work and stuff like that.
Yeah, to follow in his grandfather's footsteps. Yeah. So meanwhile, she's getting the pressure from the boss lady. She tries to throw her off the scent by saying, oh, hey, there's this old shrimp cannery or whatever. Yeah.
Oyster factory.
It wasn't shrimp because there's no way shrimp grows in Connecticut. The boss looks at that and says it's too far from the beach. She goes, oh, it's a short bike ride from the beach.
Yeah.
There is a huge difference between how much money you can charge per room for a beachfront hotel.
Yeah.
And one that you have to bike to, like the beach from.
But granted, it was still waterfront.
It was like bayfront or something.
Well, whatever. I'm just saying, why couldn't they make a beach there?
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe. I slept.
There's plenty of man-made beaches.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm just saying, if that wasn't, you know, like there's a huge difference between here's this beach already made.
Right.
Because you have to do a lot of environmental studies if you're going to take existing coastline and make it a beach, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Right.
You got me on there.
No. I'm just saying. Okay. And let's get to the real elephant in the room. Zero charisma.
Well,
and no chemistry.
Well, before we get to the conclusions.
Okay.
That
wasn't a conclusion.
No.
That was a problem all the way along.
Yeah, I know. But before we get our opinions of things.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying.
Mister, why didn't they just make a beach? That's an opinion.
No, that's an observation. And a question about what I'm seeing.
Okay.
She comes up with a brainstorm to solve this problem because she's
an architect.
And she's been smooching. Chad Michael Murray.
Right.
Without telling her boss, I've been getting involved with this guy.
Yeah. And he at one point says, aren't you buttering up to me to get my peer?
And at the end, she said, yeah.
She's oh, my God.
So at the end, when she's leaving, they said, we're going to get something in North Carolina. When she's leaving, Chad Michael Murray says, well, you're not that far away, you know.
Stanford's only an hour away.
And she said, nah, it may not work, so we might as well not even try.
Yeah.
So, and then she takes off.
I can't believe, you know, I said to Jim, it's too bad there's not an interstate highway that connects these two places. That's a real shame.
Yeah.
Now, I understand in Connecticut, an hour is a while to drive. That seems like a long time, and 95 gets some traffic. But, like, to people like us who live in California, that's nothing.
Yeah. An hour is not a big deal of a drive.
And when I was in college, I had a boyfriend who was an hour away, and I went to see him, you know?
one half of my commute's an hour.
I know. I'm just saying. Like, I know on the East Coast, states are smaller, things are closer together, yeah. and people seem to think, like, driving 200 miles in one day is a lot.
Yeah.
Whereas we're, like, driving more than 600 miles in a day is a lot. Right? But, geez, people.
Yeah.
She was, like, ready to let him go.
Right.
Oh, it's not good. But they didn't even talk about how, like, did they talk about her, like, commitment phobia or how it hadn't worked out before?
Yeah.
Like, no, she just wasn't that into him. She did want his peer. She was just kissing up to him.
Yeah.
But then she has a brainstorm.
Right. She thinks that the obvious thing that we were saying from the beginning is, well, maybe we can incorporate this peer into our plan,
right.
our hotel plan. I'm saying, no kidding.
Yeah, because people like piers.
Yeah, people like piers. People like walking on piers.
They like fishing off piers. They could set up a little hot dog stand at the end there, and people would love it. Rebuild the pier and make it better.
But here's the thing. She goes and shows it to her boss, right? Oh. And the boss says, well, when did you work on this? Who told you to work on this?
I don't like you going behind my back.
And she goes, oh, I did that on my own. You know, I don't like you going behind. How'd she go behind her back?
Yeah, but she's an architect.
No, but wait a minute.
Yeah.
No, she didn't go to anybody else.
Right.
That's going behind somebody's back.
Yeah.
I just did this on my free time.
But she didn't tell her first.
Yeah, but that's not going behind my back.
I don't understand these people whose bosses work. I mean, okay, I don't work in the real world, I understand. But they work at like 8 o'clock night, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. They're calling their people when they're on their personal time anyway.
Yeah.
And yet she had to say, I'm working on my personal time. And I'm a freaking architect.
Yeah.
So, like, I re-envisioned this project to make this work for us.
Yeah.
We can keep the pier, get the thing. It's your number one choice for land.
And I'm not going behind your back. I just gave it to you.
Right, and I worked for you.
It's not like I gave it to somebody else.
Yeah. And she didn't go commission that work from somebody else.
Yeah, she did it.
Yeah.
That's so, what it killed me. Because besides...
The obvious
stuff that we're going to talk about soon.
That I already alluded to.
The story is stupid.
But somebody, I have to say out there, did an amazing job on this website that said where they filmed everything. So I just have to say... Like, kudos to I just Googled, where was Sand Dollar Cove filmed?
Right.
And it's called atlasofwonders.com. And it's a whole page that says where in Connecticut they filmed each scene almost. And they did a better job. And, of course,
since Ellie is from Connecticut, that really got her excited.
They also did a much better job doing a synopsis of the film than Hallmark did. So I read the whole thing while we were watching it, and it was very interesting because I didn't know about this Noank. You know, I'm not from the shore. Yeah. Plus, that's on the other side of the Connecticut River from where I grew up. So, like, a whole different planet. Hardly ever went there. So it was cool.
Let's go back to the point I interrupted.
About the lack of chemistry?
Yes.
And the no charisma on the part of the...
Yes, this Allie Michalka. Oh, my God.
She's boring.
Monotone most of the time throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
She showed flashes of emotion, but most of the time just had this puss on her face.
Yep. Yeah. She was like a businesswoman trying to get a deal done, and she didn't. I don't know. Maybe at the, like a flash at the clam bake, maybe.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. It was pretty painful.
Right.
It was very boring. We literally turned it off to watch like a bad Christmas movie.
Yes.
I was about to fall asleep again. And I said, let's watch Deliver by Christmas.
So you combine that with Chad Michael Murray's Chad Michael Murray-ness.
Oh my gosh. The guy, when he's like not saying something, looks like he's smelling something bad.
Yeah. Bad. Not this. You know, he's got resting condensation.
Condescension.
Condescension face. I was going to say condensation face. I know. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, he looks like a brat, a spoiled brat.
Yeah.
He acts like a spoiled brat.
He makes it. The whole town is hurting, and he can bring in a hotel. He can make a deal that'll bring in a hotel and help everybody's business.
Right. Right.
And his own. All he cares about is the stupid pier that isn't even in one piece anymore.
Right. Whereas he could say, look, can't you put the pier into your plans? And hey, let's have an exclusive relationship where you get your bait and tackle for your guests from my bait and tackle shop.
Yeah.
No, he's
that's like all he had to do in the beginning is that, okay, I'll sell you the land, but you gotta incorporate the pier in your design. That's it.
Right. It took her Miss Creative Architect two hours of boring film. And at least
7 days she was there.
Oh my gosh, she was there so long. And the sister,
like if you own that development company, like how long would you expect your person to be there to try to negotiate a deal for a beach?
I don't know. And why wouldn't you get involved at all? When it doesn't look like they're able to close the deal.
Yeah.
I mean, there just wasn't a lot of communication. I'm not going to pretend to understand developers and stuff.
Right.
And maybe she's like, you know, she put her in there because she trusted her and she's a good closer or whatever. But I also don't understand the like lack of imagination that she shows until the very, very end.
Yeah.
Instead she says, tries to put her on the track of the oyster cannery or whatever.
Yeah.
And then doesn't say, wait, how about if we, you know, re-envision this? What if there's a way that we can incorporate this without, like, hurting our bottom line?
Yeah.
Where's the cost-benefit analysis? Where's anything? Yeah. And I understand it's a movie. They can't give us all that. But then don't give us, like, a terrible, flimsy storyline we could poke a million holes in.
Yeah.
Please. Don't insult our intelligence. This is awful. So at least they filmed it in Connecticut.
Right.
And that brought money into those towns. Because like they were saying, the guy who owns like the Noank General Store or wherever wants to keep the Sand Dollar Cafe sign up.
Yeah.
Which that's good business practice.
Yeah, it is.
You know, there's a guy who wants to make some money on the Hallmarkians coming to visit. And I was like, I'm surprised more people don't do a thing of this is where we filmed it.
Yeah.
Because I for one, and I can't be the only one, take a look at the surroundings. And if something's particularly beautiful, like where they filmed the vineyard once with the rope and Brendan Penny.
Yeah.
I want to know where that is because I want to go on vacation there. Why don't they like shout that from the rooftops? You know, unless it's, of course, if it's Banff, we could tell.
Yeah, okay. But the thing is, it's like, it could break the illusion. They're supposed to be in New York, not Vancouver.
Okay. All right. Well.
You know, in most of these things.
I'm just saying. But I thought this was really smart of this person to put this website up.
Yeah.
You know, and to, you know, talk about all the towns, Stonington, Connecticut, which is, you know, just on the border of Rhode Island, and Groton, Noank, Groton. That was really smart of them.
This is how this story should have went.
Okay, you tell us. Okay, and how long would this movie have taken if it went the way you think?
It would have taken place over 2 days.
Right?
At the most.
But then that wouldn't give them a chance to go on a cannery tour, go out on the boat, have the clam bake, do the sandcastle competition.
That's why the
summer
mine's palooza. More cost effective.
Okay.
She comes into town says, we would like to buy your land.
An Audi convertible, yeah. Not a BMW convertible. Okay.
I want to buy your land.
Right.
All right. I'll sell you my land as long as you keep the pier.
Right.
She says,
oh, no, can't do right now.
No can do. And then he should say, so one day, basically, maybe an hour, this would take the place over. He goes, all right, give me more money and I'll sell you the beach. To compensate me on your.
Well, she did do that.
Yeah.
She gave him the second offer.
Story over.
Yeah, but she gave him the second offer. But it still didn't have the pier and he said no again.
Yeah. It's like that. It reminds me of Miss Christmas with the guy with the tree.
Oh, God. Oh.
At least the tree you can justify.
Because you don't want to kill the tree.
Yeah, because it's a live tree and stuff like that. But
a big hotel, I can't believe nobody was worried about maintaining the quality of the shoreline. I guess because it was already pretty well developed. And so, like, what's another hotel?
Yeah.
But, like, what are the zoning laws and stuff like that? Wouldn't he, I think he would want to know, like, what are you planning for my land?
Yeah.
You know? But everybody knows developers are going to tell you one thing and do another.
Yeah.
Because the costs change. But they have their plans all done up. And, like, the price of lumber goes through the roof. Or they can't get someone to sheetrock for less than a certain amount of money. Or,
yeah.
You know, the concrete pilings are going to cost twice as much as they thought. Like, they could have a really bad estimator on staff. There's a whole bunch of stuff that could happen. The zoning laws, they could have to go through, you know, months and months of dealing with inland wetlands or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
So what you're saying is this, in the real estate developing profession, there are a lot of variables.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
That go on.
That's right. And I don't even know anything.
Welcome to NPR.
Welcome to NPR. Oh, anyway. So I think we've complained about this movie enough.
Yes.
We should rate it and say.
I give it a 1.5.
Okay. What justifies the half?
I like the I like the scenery.
Scenery looked good. Go Connecticut. Woo-hoo. The Nutmeg State.
I didn't hate any of the supporting characters.
I was distracted by the Australian sister.
But why?
Pam, I've noticed that people have very thick, dark eyebrows lately. So yeah. we've left the time where, like, people tweeze them to death to be, like, very dark. And I was distracted by that for some reason. Okay. And I only know that she was Australian because of that website that I mentioned.
Right.
It said that she's from Australia. But
yeah, you didn't.
I was also distracted by the fact that she didn't have a lot of space in the behind, between the counter and the back, like whatever the things that held the ice cream or whatever, like the coolers behind her. And I was like, if she gained any weight, she wouldn't fit back there.
So you're saying
Nana was pretty good.
Sand Dollar Cafe was poorly designed.
Well, it's probably, I think they
it actually, is small,
but they actually filmed it in that guy's general store.
Yeah, I know, but if you saw, they showed the shot from the outside. It's a small building.
Place. Yeah. Well, that's Connecticut.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it's probably like an old house. And the Nana was cool. And I liked how they showed the clam bake. Because I have never been to a clam bake either.
Neither have I, but I've seen it.
Yeah.
You throw the wet seaweed on it.
And what did you like the best? Who was helping to dig?
The dog. The dog was helping.
Piper.
Was assisting in digging the hole.
That's right. That was kind of cool. So.
So 1.5.
1.5.
Delete. With extreme prejudice.
Okay. Okay, Chad Michael Murray has been better in other things.
Yeah.
I haven't objected to his Chad Michael Murray-ness in certain other things. He's been, I don't know what it was about this one. Maybe because he's just such a kid of privilege. He went to law school. He was given beachfront property. He sells it. He doesn't have to split the money with anyone. It was just given to him. His sister has the Sand Dollar Cafe, and his grandmother owns this
bed and breakfast.
Like bed and breakfast. They're rolling in it. The grandfather did really well.
Yeah.
And set them all up. And he's all like, you got to keep my peer.
Yeah, it has great sentimental value for
me. Yeah, and oh, it's too hard being a lawyer, charging people by the 12-minute increments. Come on. You know? So there was something about that. I don't know if it's his return to Connecticut.
But the thing is, you were saying, kid of privilege, it's like, even when people say, oh, yeah, it would help this town, and he said, doesn't anyone care about family history anymore? Selfish.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, its sentimental value to me is worth more than the benefit to this town.
Right. Because not one other person who was outside of the family said that pier is the heart and soul of this town.
Right.
He said it's the heart and soul of this town.
Yeah. Everyone else was fine with no pier.
Yeah. Well, so as I was saying, I don't know if it was his return to Connecticut as he was the stuck-up brat kid of privilege in the Gilmore Girls.
Right.
At the private school in Hartford, you know, that Rory Gilmore went to. And that's where
because
we first met
Because he has
him.
Resting
condensation face.
Why can't I say it?
Condescension face. So I have a problem with that. That, like, he thinks it's the heart and soul, but you don't see anything else. I have a problem with the lawyer the mayor not coming back into this thing.
Yeah.
To, like, really make this sale happen. I have a problem with her not putting any pressure on him whatsoever by saying, look, you know, my boss, it would be totally within her rights, I would think, to say, by the way, I just want you to know, my boss is looking at land in North Carolina. You know, we need to know.
Yeah.
By Friday,
if you're going to sell it or not,
otherwise we're leaving. I don't like that she was like, I don't think this is going to work out because I may end up in North Carolina taking care of this other thing.
Meanwhile,
what?
Early, right before when she first talks to her boss,
right?
In the first time, doesn't her boss say there's another development company looking or sniffing around
and they want to get it first.
And they want to get this first.
Right.
What?
Yeah, well, she wouldn't tell him that.
I know, but...
But that would make her be...
Wouldn't that make her say fine with the peer?
She's an architect. She's not really a salesperson. She's not really a closer.
No, but I'm saying the boss. Wouldn't that make the boss say fine?
Yeah, see?
Keep the peer by the land, keep the peer.
Right. So...
We'll just fancy it up.
Yeah, so I give it 1 star. I don't even give it a half.
Okay. All right.
Because it was filmed in Connecticut.
Right.
But these people had zero chemistry. I'm going to go back to that.
Yeah.
Zero chemistry and no charisma. Like, you don't really care about the characters. I don't. Yeah. I don't care how the sister met her husband, Tate. I don't care. You don't know anything about this woman. Oh, I grew up in Hartford. I live in Stamford. Who cares? There's like nothing. That doesn't tell you anything about her.
There is no reason why they should have kissed at the point where they kissed. I'm saying, what was there romance going on in this and I just missed it?
No romance. No rom, no com.
Yeah.
I'm calling it.
Exactly.
There was zero com.
There was zero romance and zero comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. So delete with Extreme Prejudice. I'm with you. I can't wait to go out there and delete to make room for another Christmas movie. I'm looking forward to next week's Christmas movie because it has Amy Acker and I'm in love with her.
I know. We have a original Christmas movie with the dude from The Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
That's right. And I hope they play that one because we lost that. We had to turn in
we
our
saw
DVR.
A preview of it.
Yeah. And he's got facial hair again. I'm so excited.
<'Cause>,
he looks good.
Because... Ellie thinks that guy is a two-face, that when he shaves off his beard, he's ugly.
Yeah, he does not look good. He was in that Candace Cameron Bure
right
movie I don't even know if we actually ended up even reviewing it, because I fell asleep a couple times and we never rewatched it. But he was in that, and he didn't have any facial hair, and he was like pretending he was the chief communications officer when really he was the CEO or something like that.
This one, he's got facial hair.
Yeah.
Facial hair?
Facial hair. He's it's a facial.
Well, we'll talk about that next week.
We'll talk all about it. Yes. I can't stop going off the tangent.
I know.
The tangent's my friend
I thought we were ending this show.
We are. I'm just saying, if you have a contrary opinion, you can email it to us at marksthespotmail@gmail.com. All right. That's all I have. Happy 4th of July, everyone.
Happy 4th.
And we'll talk to you next week. Have fun.